The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
We have sent 133 athletes as part of Team Ireland to this year's Olympic Games. And even though there's a hockey team in there and a men's and a women's rugby sevens, even if you take those teams into account, strip them out, it's still the largest number of athletes that we have ever sent to an Olympic Games. Neil O'Riordan is with us, chief sports writer with the Irish Sun. But first, Gavin Cooney from the42.ie, who was going to be in Paris with Sinead O'Carroll, who will also be joining us throughout the Games. And they're going to have a new episode of their Olympics Daily podcast out each night on the Journal and the42.ie website and on their app. Gavin, of those 133 athletes, can we expect medals from them?
I think we can, Matt, and I think it's not being bombastic or tempting fate of us to expect this to be Ireland's most successful ever Olympic Games. The target, or what has been most successful to now, was London 2012 with six medals. But we could easily surpass this at this Olympic Games. We've got world champions across a number of sports, people who have been there and done that at the Olympic Games before, and others who've done so in the professional games. So, you know, it is so exciting. Like, I mean, we just have so many medal contenders and across a huge range of sports. Like, historically, it was always equestrian and boxing, but well, we have good chances in those sports in Paris. We are far from just limited to those.
Indeed, and we'll get to the boxing and equestrian in time. But Neil O'Riordan, I think for many people, have become really interested in rowing in recent years. We have seven boats and 16 rowers in Paris. But I suppose all attention will be on Paul O'Donovan, aiming to become the first athlete from Ireland to win medals at three Olympic Games.
Yeah, he's got a tremendous record with two different partners. First of all, his brother Gary, and then Vincent McCarthy is in the boat with him again this time. There are eyes there, but obviously we have the four bronze medalists back from Tokyo as well. Two of them in the women's pair and two in the women's four. So there are opportunities there beyond both Paul and Vincent as well.
Yeah, just the names of those who are the other contenders amongst the rowers.
Well, Afra Kyo and Fiona Murta and Emer Lam and, sorry, the last one escapes me. Emer and is in the women's four again, and Africa and Fiona.
Sorry, with Emily Hegarty, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. So that both of them have shown, both boats have shown good form over there being contention as well. And it shows, I mean, the way the qualification works, you qualify the boat and then the rowers are allocated to each boat. So the decision's been made on selection, similar to what happened to Paul and Gary and Fintan the last time around, but the boat, your previous, I guess, performance is no guarantee of selection and a boat is qualified, but within that the people can be moved around.
Indeed. So back to you in this one, Gavin. Is perhaps rowing where we're going to have the best success, where we would hope for that?
Oh yeah, quite potentially. I mean, Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy will be favourites again to win gold back-to-back in the lightweight doubles golds. There'll be more competition this time around. They were actually beaten by both the Swiss and Italy in their final race ahead of these championships. So the Swiss and Italy, along with the French, will put pressure on them here. But they'll be favourites. And just to add to what Neil has said, Darragh Lynch and Philip Doyle in the men's doubles golds will be in contention for a podium as well for Ireland. They only came together last year. Like, chemistry in the boat is very important in the double sculls, and in their first year together they won a bronze medal at the World Championships in Belgrade last year, so they'll be in contention, as will Afra Kyo and Fiona Murta in the women's pair. So you're looking at, you know, if all goes to plan for Ireland, you're looking at three medals in rowing, maybe even four with the women's four as well.
Okay, now let's go to the boxing, Neil, and the women's boxing, because we have six competitors, and included in that, Kelly Harrington defending the gold medal that she won in Tokyo 3 years ago. What are our chances in the women's boxing?
Well, the fact that they've had somebody qualified in each division is a triumph in itself. It shows the kind of breadth of talent there. Obviously, Kelly is 3 years older. There are younger fighters out there, hungrier fighters. She has suffered some setbacks both in and out of the ring since Tokyo. But she conveyed a great sense of calmness in Tokyo and performed when it counted. I will hope to draw on that again. Obviously, she'll be a very popular two-time champion if that's the case. But you look at Aoife O'Rourke there as a real contender as well. So more so perhaps than the men's, the women's boxing is where we're more likely to have more success perhaps in the ring.
Why is that? Do we have anyone in the men's who we can be confident about?
Well, we do. Jack Marley is seeded as well, and so there are opportunities there. But just in terms of performance over the last year or two, where they're seeded, now the draw will be on shortly, so chances can be dependent on that, which side of the draw you fall upon. But just based on what they've achieved over the last couple of years, the women's side is looking a bit more hopeful.
Gavin, what do you think of our chances in boxing, men and women?
Yeah, pretty strong. I mean, Kelly Harrington will obviously be a strong contender at 60 kg. Her main rival is probably the Brazilian Beatriz Ferreira, who she beat in the final in Tokyo. They're seeded second and third respectively, so they can't meet in a final this time around. And Aoife O'Rourke, as Neil says, has a very good chance. There's only 16 fighters in her division. She's seeded. We're going to see the draw here very shortly here in Paris, but that means that she'll have a pretty much a guarantee of winning her first round, and then she needs only win one more to be guaranteed at least a bronze medal. The other maybe outside chance is Dana Morehouse, fighting at 50 kilos. She's only 4'11", but she has maybe just a bit of an outside chance of medaling, because we generally have, you know, a boxer generally across the last few editions of these games has kind of come from nowhere to medal. It was Aidan Walsh the last time around. He's back in the Irish squad again this time. So maybe Dana Morehouse.
And just saying, when it comes to medals, Gavin, we could know as early as 9 o'clock this evening as to whether Ireland has its first medal or not, because Ireland's men's sevens team playing against Fiji, if it wins, it's into the medal games on Saturday, but it's got an incredibly difficult task ahead this evening, hasn't it, in playing against the defending champions Fiji.
Yeah, it doesn't get any tougher in rugby sevens, Matt. It would be wrong to say that rugby sevens is Fiji's main sport. It is their only sport. They've been competing the Olympics since 1956. The only sport in which they've ever medalled is the rugby sevens. A bronze in the women's and then back-to-back golds in the men's. So they've won 15 out of 15 games they've ever played in this sport at the Olympic Games. So, you know, brutally tough challenge for Ireland this evening if they are to overcome Fiji and make it into a semi-final, which will be tomorrow. They would be guaranteed at least a playoff or a bronze medal. It's not like the boxing, you do have to then win your semi-final to at least medal, but you know, if they can beat Fiji tonight, they'll feel they can conquer the world and take the gold medal, but they're really up against it.
Oh, sorry, so it's a third and fourth place playoff for the medal, is it, rather than the losings those who lose the semi-finals automatically both getting bronze?
Yeah, it is indeed. That's pretty much limited to boxing. They'll have to win. So if they do get into a semi-final tomorrow and they lose it, they will have a playoff for the consolation prize of bronze, which, you know, a bronze medal would still be amazing for a team that only qualified for their first games in Tokyo 3 years ago. But it's so tough to see them getting past Fiji, for whom they're this is their sport and they're just such a joy to watch at it.
Okay, to the swimming, Neil O'Riordan. Daniel Whiffen is a world champion, but there are suggestions that not everybody competed against him at the World Aquatics Championships. So is it going to be harder for him in the Olympics than it was in the World Aquatics, where he won gold in both the 800 and 1500 metres freestyle?
In theory, but he's not shy of confidence, and he was quick to point out in interviews last week that nobody surpassed the world records he set since. So he's not certainly daunted by the challenge facing him. He has a remarkable self-assuredness. In that same day, in the media day, we were speaking to Mona McSharry, and we were asking her about him, and she was just kind of laughing to herself because, you know, she's spoken quite openly about her own kind of self-doubt. And I guess when you see somebody who's maybe almost the polar opposite of you in terms of how they carry themselves and articulate their ambitions and their targets, it can be quite, you know, it's been quite astounding, I guess, but he certainly doesn't seem to give any indication of being fazed. And it is, of course, the second Olympics. He was in Tokyo, and although he didn't, he wasn't anywhere near kind of medals, even then he was shaving huge times off his events, and it's been just real steady, well, beyond steady, but consistent progress since then.
And I see he's not just going in the 800 metres and the 1500 metres, he's also going to do the 10-kilometre open water swim.
Yeah, he's down for that. He did kind of express some doubt as to whether he'd take part if it was moved from the Fen because of the water quality issues, but seemed to be reassured that the mayor and Hidalgo dipped in last week. So that's the plan. He said, you know, it's his dream to be win gold in front of the Eiffel Tower. He's certainly not looking just to take part in that either. He, as I said, he's an ambitious lad and not afraid to talk himself up.
Okay, and for the others, Gavin, is Mona McSherry our main hope of getting to a final?
Yeah, I think so, Matt. She made a final, obviously, in Tokyo, which kind of broke new water, I suppose, will be the phrase. So she would, that would probably be our best shot. Mona will swim the 100 and the 200 meter breaststroke, but I think 100 is probably her best distance. She has obviously made a final last time around. She was fifth in the World Championships in Doha. Again, as you say, it wasn't a full field. So, you know, another final for Mona would be another pretty impressive performance. And look, you know, when a final comes around, you don't know fully what happens. But I mean, Whiffen will probably medal, to be honest, probably in the 800s, maybe even in the 1500, not necessarily gold because the field will be stronger. But if Mona could get herself back into another final, it would be another success.
Neil, Jack Woolley went to the last Olympics and lost in the first round in Taekwondo. And then when he came home, he was the subject of a dreadful, unprovoked assault by a gang in Dublin city centre. He has recovered from all of that. He's ranked 9 in the world in his 58 kilogram division. What would his chances be, do you think, of moving beyond that ranking and winning a medal?
He has a chance. Since then, he's won gold, silver at the European Championships and the European Games, and he's medalled in a Grand Prix event too. So he's in the mix. It ended so abruptly for him, as you say, in Tokyo, and he was distraught afterwards, and then that horrific assault afterwards. You know, he had a lot to contend with in a short space of time, but he spoke to us recently in a group interview. He met his partner soon afterwards, and you know, I guess that helped him reset and a lot happier in his personal life. And you know, I think he's got the kind of proven track record over the last couple of years that he can be in the mix. So hopefully it's better story for him this time around.
Okay, to golf. And first of all, Gavin, Leona Maguire and Stephanie Meadow, what are their chances?
I think they have a chance, especially Leona. I mean, Leona won on the Ladies European Tour only a few weeks ago, Ireland's first ever winner there. And she is what the grand old game would call a big game player. I mean, she always raises her game. Occasionally in majors, okay, she's had a few disappointing major finishes, but I mean, she's just so good in the Solheim Cup, which is obviously a team event. She will be representing Team Ireland, even if it's kind of a slightly dull individual stroke play format. So, I mean, I think Leona should fancy her chances, to be honest. Stephanie Meadow maybe less so, has less of a pedigree in the last couple of years than Leona. But, you know, the field, you know, Leona will have competed and beat stronger fields, to be honest, than she'll come up in against in Paris. So, yeah, I'd be hopeful.
What's the format for the golf? Is it individual medals and also a team medal?
It's just individual medals. It's the same kind of format you'll see on the PGA Tour week to week. Four days play, stroke play, and whoever has the lowest score at the end wins. But what the little difference, obviously, is that no one would normally care who finishes second and third on the PGA Tour. Here, obviously, there's a bit of metal up for grabs. So if there is a tie for second or third, we go to a playoff. And, you know, Rory McIlroy ended up in that eight-man playoff for the bronze medal in Tokyo, saying that he's never tried so hard to finish third before. So, that's the little point of difference with golf for the Olympics.
Yeah, and Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry are among the bigger names, aren't they? Although Scottie Scheffler is there and Xander Schauffele, there's quite other big hitters in the field.
Yeah, there are indeed, but it won't be like you, as you say, that those top names from America and so forth are here. Basically, the top two golfer from each country is pretty much here. But you know, that means there are a number of Americans who aren't here, like Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and so on. I think they were enjoying their little break in Dublin as a result. So I mean, McIlroy and Lowry have both played and beaten stronger fields than this before. So you know, golf is obviously an unpredictable and pretty pernicious game. But you know, they are capricious, should I say? But you know, if they can catch form, they have as good a chance as anyone else.
You mentioned earlier, Neil, show jumping as being traditionally something Ireland has done well in. And I see that Kian O'Connor, who of course won a medal in London 2012, who had the medal removed in 2004, is back for his fourth Olympic Games. What are our chances in show jumping?
Well, they're always considered as one of the possibles for medals, and that was the case in Tokyo as well. But then things didn't go so well there. Kian O'Connor ended up pulling out the team event, which I think probably upset a few people. But he's got obviously great experience. But it's probably not regarded as one of our key medal hopes. It's one of those medal opportunities we talk about, maybe of the 10 to 12 that we have, but it's maybe not one whether we're looking at where it's maybe of the 6 to 8 or 6 to 9 most likely ones. I think that's an event where we'll view it as a bonus if a medal's got there rather than maybe a probability.
And what about gymnastics, Neil, and Reese McClanagan?
Yeah, I mean, again, similar to Jack Woolley, he had a really disappointing Tokyo experience, but since both before and since then, he's shown his pedigree in European and World Championships. It was just that little slip off the pommel horse which did him in Tokyo. It, of course, the margins are so fine that anything like that, then you're gone completely. But he's shown real consistency. He's shown a real kind of mental fortitude and resilience as well. So hopes will be high for him. It sounds simple, but all he has to do is repeat at the Olympics what he's been doing at the other major championships.
Now, I've deliberately left Gavin the athletics to the end because there's a week or so before that actually starts, all the other sports get the precedence first. But Rashidat Adeleke is expected to be carrying the Irish flag at the opening ceremony tomorrow evening. I don't know if that's been confirmed, but certainly she will be the woman that so many of us will be looking out to win a medal. But she still isn't the top in the world in her races, is she?
No, she'll be carrying hopes and expectations as well, Matt. And look, we know she is a world-class athlete, or at least has world-class potential, but she will run in the 400-metre individual, and it's absolutely stacked with competition. They've got the Polish sprinter Natalia Kaczmarek, who we saw pip Rashida to gold at the Europeans in Rome a few weeks ago, and then she's also got to contend with Marlady Paulino, who's the world record holder, or the world champion, should I say. And then out of nowhere, a couple of weeks ago, Jamaica's Nikisha Price came out of nowhere to clock a world-leading time at the Diamond League. So Rashida will need the run of her life to medal in the 400. She'll, like, her personal best there is 49.07. She'll have to go under 49 seconds, you'd imagine, to medal. So we think she can do it, but we haven't seen her do it before. So while it's very exciting that Ireland will have a legitimate medal hope in an individual track, in an individual sprint meet, it's far from guaranteed, unfortunately.
And what about our relay teams?
Yeah, so I mean, the relay team's probably our best hope. The mixed 4x400 metre relay team, we all remember winning gold at the Europeans a few weeks ago. But if Ireland are to probably make the final of that even, they need Rashida to run it. And the problem is the schedule is such that the heats and the final of that relay are in a couple of days before the 400 metre individual happens. So it's unlikely that she will run that just to avoid fatigue ahead of the individual. So a better bet is the women's 4x400, which takes place after the individual, which means Rashida should be fine and rested to run that. And if she does run that, Ireland have an absolutely super chance of medalling with the team with Sophie Becker, Phil Healy and Charlene Maudsley.
And Neil, what about Ciara McGeehan in the 1500 metres after her recent gold at the Europeans?
Yeah, I think it's possibly going to be a bit tougher for Ciara. Like, she's obviously excelled over the last year or two. She's kind of delivered on the potential that she displayed as a junior, but then struggled to kind of realise when through injuries and whatever else, loss of form. But she, since the European things haven't gone as smoothly for her as she would have liked, she stepped out of the national championships in Santry. Now, she hasn't competed in that for a number of years, so that wasn't a huge surprise, but it was an indication that maybe things weren't going as she would have liked between the Europeans and the Olympics themselves. So hopefully she can kind of regain her mojo. She has shown good, again, resilience in the past to bounce back from disappointment. She's had plenty of them between Rio and Tokyo in Olympics alone. But I suppose there's a slight concern there that she hasn't been able to build on what she showed in the Europeans today, just in Diamond League meets and other races since.
And just to finish, Gavin, we'll come back to the athletics again next week. But the cycling does start this weekend, doesn't it? And there will be Irish involvement.
Yeah, they will. I'm actually not across the cycling mat, unfortunately.
All right, well then, Neil, are you across the cycling?
Well, Ryan Mullen is in the time trial today. He, I'm not sure whether it'll bring him good luck, but he met on Taoiseach Simon Harris in the Olympic Village today, and certainly he was confident that the course is set to suit him. It's a flatter course. He grew up in England, but he's been cycling for Ireland since he was 14, and it was quite touching way how he spoke about just what it meant to him. You know, he's nearly 30 years of age now, so it's been a long journey for him to get here, and who was representing at Ireland at the Olympics. But certainly he was optimistic that the course will suit him in the time trial, and he'd have the road race later on as well.
All right, thank you, Neil O'Riordan, chief sports writer with the Irish Sun, and Gavin Cooney from the 42.ie, who of course will be doing the Olympics Daily podcast with Sinead O'Carroll as well on their app or website.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.